Well, tonight, tax tsunami in Parliament. Three controversial taxes gone as Parliament votes to abolish the e-levy, betting tax and emissions levy, marking a reversal of policies enacted under the Akufo-Addo administration.
The reason for repeal is to ensure that there's availability of additional disposable income to households and to reduce the tax burden on individuals.
The removal of withholdings on winnings from lottery will result in additional income to individuals who benefit from winning from lottery.
But is this a political masterstroke or an economic gamble? We'll take you to Parliament, where the minority leader argues that even President Akufo-Addo did better removing taxes in his first year.
And for the records, as many as 15 taxes and levies that were in place and had been in place through an enactment by the previous Mahama administration had to be repealed. So if today they are here with some fewer.
Stay with us as we break it all down here on Top Story, brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. My name is Samuel Kojo. Brace to stay. Well, tonight Parliament has swung the legislative axe, slashing three major taxes in a move that reshapes Ghana's fiscal landscape. Now, the House voted to repeal the e-levy, betting tax and emissions levy, fulfilling a key pledge of the NDC's 2024 campaign and its 120-day social contract with the people. Now, with President Mahama expected to sign them into law, this signals a seismic shift in economic policy. These tax cuts were embedded in the 2025 budget presented by Finance Minister Dr. Kasiela Tofosen. First on the chopping box, the controversial e-levy, a tax that sparked national debate when it was passed. I mean, its promulgation even got a lot of people talking. There were so many demonstrations against this particular levy. But government still went ahead, or Parliament still went ahead to pass it. Here is how the historic vote played out.
The reason for repeal is to ensure that there's availability of additional disposable income to households and to reduce the tax burden on individuals. Mr. Speaker, if this is the reason why we are repealing the e-levy, then e-levy is 1%. Why don't we go and repeal VAT, which is about 17%, if we are looking at ensuring that there's disposable income for citizens? That cannot be a proper and true rationale for the repeal of 1.946 billion, that is close to 2 billion Ghana cedis, would have been paid by Ghanaians to the government by way of the deductions based on the tax. But if we pass this bill, the deduction will no longer take place and government will lose close to 2 billion Ghana cedis. But the 2 billion Ghana cedis that government is going to lose will now come to Ghanaians. So in effect, individual Ghanaians who ordinarily would have lost 2 billion Ghana cedis will now retain their 2 billion Ghana cedis. So this single legislative measure is going to pass on 2 billion Ghana cedis to Ghanaians. 2 billion Ghana cedis. Yeah. 2 billion Ghana cedis. So this is a gift of 2 billion Ghana cedis being given back to Ghanaian citizens as disposable income that they can spend. They can pay their children's school fees. They can, build their homes. They can, those of us who want to get married, we can get married with it.
Honourable members, the motion is adopted. The Electronic Transfer Levy Repeal Bill 2025 is now read the third time.
Well, so that was the sound that a lot of Ghanaians were waiting for. Let me take you to Parliament, from where our Parliamentary Affairs correspondent, Kweku Asante, is joining us with full story on this development. Kweku, next up was the emissions levy. How did that unfold?
Well, the emissions levy was also promulgated under the Yoweri Akufo-Addo administration, but it has not been implemented yet. The finance minister was clear that despite its non-implementation, he thought it should not remain on the tax statute, for which reason he wanted to remove it. The minority side, the NPP, were not opposed to this removal, except that the minority chief, Frank Anodonpre, has been warning about climate change and emissions from vehicles and other such industries, which goes a long way to pollute the environment. He wants the finance minister to take an appropriate look and perhaps return to parliament with some tax to ensure that the emission of carbon dioxide into the environment is dealt with.
Repeal of the emissions bill is that the committee observed that the government enacted the Emissions Levy Act 2023, Act 1112, to impose the emissions levy on carbon dioxide equivalent emissions from specified internal combustion engine vehicle emissions. However, the levy had raised some concerns. The minister indicated that it is the policy of the government to re-engage the stakeholders in order to formulate a proper environmental reforms that would enhance government's approach towards dealing with the emission challenge. As a result, the minister appealed to us to recommend to this House to repeal the levy. Mr. Speaker, the members of the committee were unanimous in recommending to this House to repeal this levy.
He indicated that he will engage further on the matter. I think it's important he does that, because now the designation of our Minister of Energy has now been changed for a very good reason. Minister of Energy and Green Transition. And the narrative globally is that e-liability has become a concern of the world. And he referenced the concept of polluter pay principle, which is globally accepted. We need to look at it well. We need to look at it well, because now experts have told us that emission level, even though we are part of the world, our emission levels are negligible. One pollution in one part of the world is pollution in the entire part of the world. So it cannot be the case that we are comfortable in our comfortable zone, so to speak, and say that our emission levels are low, and therefore we should compound the situation of emission.
Well, Kweku, and then came the fiercely debated betting tax. What really happened in the House?
Well, yes, Dr. Kassie Latufosin, the finance minister, laid out again why those taxes on betting, on lotteries, on games of chance must go. Listen to him in his own words.
The removal of withholdings on winnings from lottery will result in additional income to individuals who benefit from winning from lottery. Also, the removal of withholding on purchase of unprocessed gold is expected to free up the market and encourage small-scale miners to sell their gold to the government so that the government can help to curtail smuggling. So, Speaker, it is also important that for the record, I state for the record that, Mr. Speaker, lotteries in the Income Tax Amendment Bill has been defined as follows. Mr. Speaker, if you are to look at the Income Tax Amendment Bill, lotteries means a scheme where rights are sold to take part in a draw by lot for price, including betting, gaming, and any game of chance. Right, Honorable Speaker, it is important that I make this point. Mr. Speaker, I make this point to clarify that lottery in the instance of the Income Tax Amendment Bill includes betting, gaming, and any game of chance. So lottery does not only relate to lotteries. It relates to gaming and betting. Mr. Speaker, this amendment is far more than what the NDC party promised in our manifesto. Mr. Speaker, in our manifesto, we promised to remove betting tax, which is a subcomponent of the lottery tax, withholding tax on the lottery. Mr. Speaker, what we have done is that we have not only exempted or removed the tax on betting, but we have also removed the tax on gaming and also on lotteries, the everyday lotto. So, Mr. Speaker, it's 3-in-1 and it should not be construed that this tax is only removing taxes on betting. We've gone more than betting.
Well, that's the finance minister there. Kweku, the minority leader, waded into this debate with some sharp words on this. What did he actually say?
Well, yes, prior to the question being put on this for the bill to be formally repealed, the minority leader came in and did say that in the first term of President Akufo-Addo, in fact, in his first year, he did abolish more taxes. And so this NDC so-called claim that they have made certain significant promises and must be praised for fulfilling them is unfounded. Ultimately, the question was put and the bill was repealed. But listen to the minority leader's concerns as he expressed them on the floor.
Now we hear our friends praising themselves, claiming that they are fulfilling their campaign promises. They are selective fulfillment of promises. But I need to remind them that what they are attempting to do is not new to this house. In 2017, when the Akufo-Addo government presented its first budget, there were a lot of taxes that were repealed. And for the records, as many as 15 taxes and levies that were in place and had been in place through an enactment by the previous Mahama administration had to be repealed. So if today they are here with some fewer amendments to our tax laws, well, we would want to encourage them to do more. We are aware that in their time, Kaya Ye was even taxed. We are aware. Agro inputs, including the tools that the farmers use, cutlasses being used by the farmers in Boko, were taxed.
So that's the minority leader there. But Kweku, another bill that was considered in the House is the Revenue Administration Amendment Bill 2025. This generated some controversy in the House. Tell us more.
So, Brace, this is the tax refund account. Presently, the government set aside 6% of all revenue it raises into the tax refund account so that persons or companies who may have legitimate tax refund issues will go to the GRE and that fund will be utilized to do a refund. The new government says what they are going to use to offset the cost of the cutting of e-levy and other taxes is to reduce that percentage from 6 to 4 so that they can use the windfall, if I can call it that, to be able to offset the hole that will be caused in the budget. The former finance minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam, really was not enthused about the plan, really making the claim that the NDC is not really being honest about that situation.
What I'd like to correct, however, is an impression as if this is going to make a savings for the government of about 3.8 billion Ghana cedis, as stated in paragraph 6.6 and fiscal impact analysis of the bill. The minister indicated to the committee, as captured by this report, that between 43% to 49% is usually spent. And according to the Revenue Administration Act, Section 63, subsection 3, what is not spent at the end of the calendar year should be moved to the consolidated fund. And so if based on that, the minister has reduced the percentage of what should constitute the tax refund from 6% to 4%, the 2%, which is resulting into what the minister calls savings, is already supposed to go to the consolidated fund. It's already part of government revenue. The only thing the minister has decided to do is to front load the utilization of the 3.8 billion. If he did not decide to front load it, it would have gone into the consolidated fund. And that is articulated very well in the Revenue Administration Act. And therefore, to suggest that this is a saving as a result of the new policy, and therefore suggesting that something great has happened, you know, because of this policy, Mr. Speaker, I beg to differ.
So that was the former finance minister. And Kwaku, the current finance minister, Dr. Kasiela Tuforson, had a response in trying to explain what they meant or what they really want to do with this bill. Tell us more.
Well, according to Dr. Kasiela Tuforson, what they are really doing is to front load this so that that 2% that has been cut out will not even go into the tax refund account in the first place. It will be used for development purposes. And so the former finance minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin's claims about what they are simply trying to do is not accurate.
All right, Kwaku, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Let's now bring in Professor Godfred Bokping, who is an economist and professor of finance at the University of Ghana Business School. Prof, I'm grateful to you for joining us here on Top Story. Now, first off, question on the minds of several people is how government is able to plug the loopholes being created by all these repeals or these taxes that are being repealed. What do you expect government to do in plugging these holes?
Good evening, and thank you for having me on your show, and good evening to our cherished listeners. Yeah, first of all, I want to congratulate government for keeping to their promise. I can't wait for E-Levy to go. I actually told somebody he should give me some few days, and I'll do Momo because I'm just waiting for E-Levy to go. Then I'll send Momo to the person. So they've done the right thing.
But Prof, are you saying that you haven't done any Momo transaction because of E-Levy?
I've been doing it very carefully.
Okay.
Very carefully. In fact, in very extreme cases. Otherwise, yeah. But I just can't wait. I think it just needs to go. It's not because of the small Momo I've been sending, but it's just that so that we can grow the digital economy, so that we can just free up space to stimulate consumption and promote business. I think that's where I'm coming from.
Okay.
And from day one, I've not hidden my disaffection.
Sure.
Or satisfaction for E-Levy. And I think it was one of the things that the MPP did that actually broke the camel's back with respect to sound minds in this country.
Okay,
so let's move forward. Yeah, I have a different reservation of view about betting tax. Okay, so the government should know that not all of us are happy with the abolition of the betting tax. And then again, for emission, really, we have not collected anything from there. The minister also alluded to that. We don't actually, the charging agent, DVLA, we actually don't have the equipment to measure the emissions for tax purposes. So that's another thing. So I think overall is good. But what is also outstanding is the COVID-19 health levy, right? In that bouquet of VAT that has been distorted. And I think government indicated that they are reaching out to the IMF. I don't think that is quite complex, but whatever it is, they should try and resolve that so that the VAT distortions can be corrected, the street levy and the standard VAT rate and all of that should be corrected. My recommendation to government is that when they merge the street levy with the standard VAT rate and do all the computations, it should not be pegged in excess of 18%. Then we can focus more on administrative and compliance and deployment of digitization in revenue administration. We can close the gap. Yeah.
But 18%, I heard in parliament, a member of parliament was even proposing to government that if you want to give respite to the people, then of course reduce the rate of VAT in the country. Do you agree to that?
That is not an advice.
Okay.
I think it's more of a low point for me. And all of that. I mean, I can't. The state does not run on credit, and all of that. There's a reason why we call certain taxes nuisance taxes, right? Because of, and if you look at the cost of compliance and how much we are generating from those tax handles and all of that, I think when you put all these things together, you will find common ground why these taxes must go. And of course, the MPP in 2017 actually did remove a lot of taxes and reduce some rates and all of that. And if you check the data, you realize that tax revenue overall actually increased higher than the percentage over 2016 and all of that. And then tax to GDP ratio also went up marginally. So I think that rather than deepening the rates and increasing the burdening the faithful few, we can look at more administrative and compliance measures in scaling up. The other thing I wanted to comment on is on the tax refund. It's not a sustainable revenue generation instrument. In fact, the revenue is there already because the 6% is over the previous year's collections and all of that. But what is important,
We are with you, sir.
Yeah, what is important is that the tax refund has been abused in the time past.
Okay.
In fact, the discussion in under the 16th IMF supported program was that the VAT refund process was weak and it was discouraging compliance. And therefore, we decided to scale up in terms of the tax refund and expanded the scope of the tax refund to include customs and all of that. So from that perspective, we increased the ceiling to 4% and then also to 6% and all of that. But interestingly, if you look at the utilization of the tax refund, it's actually less than 50%. Okay? So it means that how much has been lodged in that particular account in a fiscal year, we actually don't use all of them, if you look at the data in the last couple of years. But it doesn't mean the money has been sitting there idle. What happens is that at the end of the year, any amount left to some extent, it will be swept by the Ministry of Finance to do other things. And that itself would also raise audit issues. So sometimes when you see the Auditor General's report and they talk about infractions and all of that, and then again, if you look at the Imani Fiscal Recklessness Index, for which the Ministry of Finance is a record holder, all of them come from the fact that through violence and all of that, we dip our hands into the tax refund amount simply because we have unused amounts in there. So I think that from data, this cap in reducing it to 4%, others will even suggest that it should have come to about 3% or so, because largely we use less than 50% of the amount lodged. We have also picked evidence that this same tax refund has been abused by politicians who facilitate the process in claiming a refund from the tax refund, even though there are established processes that you have to go through in terms of audit and all of that. So I think overall, the rationalization is good, but my recommendation would be that this is not a sustainable way of closing the gap. We should look at the existing tax handles and how we can improve their efficiency going forward.
Okay, but if you listen to the minister, he says they will make the excess money from this tax refund amount available for appropriation, and that is what they equate to savings. The minority disagrees. I mean, help us understand what actually this is.
Okay, so the tax refund amount, assuming we have, let's say, 12 billion Ghana cedis in the account for 2025, companies would apply for refund once they pay, the tax amount they pay is in excess of their tax liability. There's a procedure they go through to apply. It has to be audited and all of that. Now, at the end of the year, assuming we come to the conclusion that out of the 12 billion, it's just 4.5 billion that has been utilized in meeting tax refund applications. So we have, let's say, 5.5 billion Ghana cedis. That amount becomes available to the Ministry of Finance to utilize through vironment. Now, if you do that, they will still dip their hands into it, all right. And that is why in the 2025 budget, the Minister of Finance was saying that a certain amount has been withdrawn from that tax refund amount and actually misapplied and all of that. So this time round, I believe that the minister doesn't want to dip his hands into the tax refund amount for which it will raise an audit query of misapplication or the environment wasn't properly done, contrary to the act or the law. He is now saying that I am taking steps to actually reduce the limit from 6% to 4%, so that the difference would now be would accrue to the consolidated fund, and through the appropriation act, it can be utilized, and I will not be found guilty of the law. That is essentially what we are doing, because they also dip their hands into it anyway. The politicians will dip their hands into it anyway, and that will raise all these issues. That will raise query issues about misapplication. But now that you go through an amendment and change that from 6% to 4%, that difference is now available for you to allocate under the Appropriation Act, and you'll be compliant with the law.
Mentioned the IMF earlier. Will this or these taxes that have been repealed have any impact on our program with the IMF?
Look, when e-levy was being introduced, they told us that if we introduce e-levy, we will not go to IMF. We introduced e-levy, we went to IMF. They mentioned other taxes that they said, oh, if we remove them, IMF will come and cut our heads. We have removed some of them. We are here. We actually expect the IMF next week and all of that. I don't think that the IMF will hold us to it simply because we are abolishing the e-levy. And I know to some extent, based on IMF's own analysis, empirical evidence and stuff like that, that e-levy is not a proper tax to introduce in this digital economy. I don't think that the IMF will take an exception to that. I think what the IMF will be more interested in, what mechanisms are we putting in place to ensure that this tax removal does not compromise our fiscal sustainability going forward and all of that. And I think government has demonstrated that. And I think that, so maybe 2025, we are looking at it that, okay, we want to take off these taxes. And if you look at the combined fiscal loss, we are looking at something around 7.7 billion Ghana cedis, just a little above $450 million and all of that. Remember, at the beginning of this year, one of the contentious issues in Parliament was about exemption of almost $350 million. That's more than 70% of the fiscal loss we are talking about here, right? So the government has to demonstrate to the fund that we can remove all these taxes without compromising the fiscal outlook, because this is where the generations are coming from. Of course, the low-hanging fruit, some people call it an innovation. Let's call it low-hanging fruit. It's to rationalize the tax refund amount. That immediately makes available a spendable amount that you can include in the consolidated fund, and then the Appropriation Act to work on that. Okay. Then, of course, there are other interventions by increasing the growth and sustainability levy on mining. That is also expected to bring some influence from there. But more importantly, if we can focus a bit more on administrative and compliance reforms, more digitization in the tax administration, that will remove the human interface and the leakages that benefit tax officials in their collusion with taxpayers. I believe that we should be getting there. What is also important, and let me put emphasis on that, it's not just, so you remember when the IMF program was approved on May 17, 2023, our criticism of the IMF program by design was that the fiscal consolidation was heavily based on revenue measures rather than expenditure cuts. The previous government failed to do the needful expenditure cuts to ease the burden on Ghanaians, because the fiscal adjustment of 5% of GDP, 60% of that was coming for revenue enhancement, while just 40% was coming for consolidation. But what they have done, and I believe that it's much more smarter, right? What they have done is that they've moved the fiscal consolidation from revenue-based to expenditure-based. So from 2025, we are talking about expenditure-based fiscal consolidation. Now, what is the impact of that? If you compare the gross financing needs of 2025, which is around 44 billion Ghana cedis, is much lower than the gross financing needs in 2024, which was 54 billion Ghana cedis. So it's simply because of the expenditure cuts. Of course, we also take cognizance of the fact that not all arrears are programmed for in the 2025 budget. Of course, all governments do that. So it's not just revenue that they are removing, but my expectation is that revenue would increase this year if we focus a bit more on administrative and compliance together with the growth and sustainability levy and the other measures that the government has introduced. But more importantly, the government is also demonstrating that we are not only looking at revenue-based measures, but we are also shifting to expenditure-based fiscal consolidation, where they are shrinking expenditure, cutting wasteful spending. But of course, in the medium to the long term, we should be looking at how that fiscal space that is being created can use it to enhance growth-enhancing spending by increasing our capex. If you look at our capex, it's not that much. And it's simply because other wasteful expenditure is being made to cover up the inefficiencies of state-owned enterprises. You look at the 2025 budget, we have almost 33 billion Ghana cedis allocated under other expenditure to cover energy sector, financial sector cleanup, and all of that. So I think that when we are talking about the rationalization governance reform, if we can do well in the management of state-owned enterprises and manage our public compensation bill, we should be creating fiscal space gradually that we can use for growth enhancing spending.
Okay, grateful to you, Professor Bokping. This has been Top Story, brought to you by Telecel and Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Up next is Newsnight, and we'll do a lot more on this particular story.
And indeed, we'll be getting your reactions tonight to the repeal of the e-levy, which is generating a fair bit of reactions across the board. You want to stay with us for that. We're going to go to Parliament, where the MPs debated us quite a bit before it was repealed, from what we understand. By both sides of the House, really. There was no disagreement on the subject of repealing the e-levy. But we're also going to be delving into the e-levy question and the controversy that he has generated over the years. We'll be speaking to both sides of the aisle, hearing from the Chamber of Telecoms, but also those directly impacted by this, businesses, and what this will mean for their pockets and their businesses. And we'll be taking your views also. Remember, the e-levy is not the only tax that will go tonight, and we'll be getting you clarity from government when the president is expected to assent to these bills now that they have been passed by Parliament. Stay with us for that here on Newsnight. Also, tonight on the program, the government is fighting off accusations by the minority that the president's referral of the of petitions regarding the Chief Justice and her alleged misconduct leading possibly to her removal is politically motivated.
It is a process